GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Issel and Louie in the morning on ESPN Louisville, 680 and 105.7. And this hour of the show is brought to you by our good friends at KentuckyTourism.com.
Hey, little KT.
Old habits are hard to break. How are you, Louie?
Oh, terrific, Dan. How are you?
I'm terrific. I know one thing. I wish you were my father.
Oh,
After a very busy 4th of July weekend with the family, after the show yesterday, you take your kids to see the new Minion movie.
Yeah. Discount ticket day over at the old movie theater on Tuesdays. There you go.
That's terrific. I mean, I'd rather have somebody stick me in the eye with a fork as to watch the Minion movie, but you were good enough to take the family, and you're a terrific dad.
Well, hang on. Avery, did you grow up on Minions? Are you of that age group? You have to be.
I love Minions. I saw it in IMAX on Saturday.
Okay. Oh, IMAX.
Instead of being productive.
So we're at the Science Center or at
the AMC Theater.
AMC. Okay, got it. Okay, yeah. Louisville has many. I had no idea how many IMAXs there are in this freaking town, and so. But yeah, no. The movie was a very C-minus movie to me, and I'm generally pro. I think those movies are funny, the Despicable Me movies, but that had to have absolutely been part of your childhood. I can't even imagine.
Oh, I loved it. It was so cute seeing, like, basically baby Gru. I know he's a child, but, like, he's basically baby Gru.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, there you go, Dan. Yeah, we saw little Minions, got the kids' picture in front of the promotional thing there and did all that. Yeah, my kids are, like, the second most photographed kids in the history of the planet outside of the royal family or something. So there you go.
Well, good for you. Yeah. I would have taken a day off. I knew the movie wasn't very good because my daughter and her family saw it over the weekend, and they kind of gave it the same review that you did.
Yeah, so it's funny because you know how it's still Tuesday, right? So I go to the 1 o'clock movie. My wife meets me over there, and then I run to the CPA, and then we have dinner. And then we went swimming, Dan. The kids got to go swimming after that. How about that? What a life, huh? What a ridiculous existence that my kids have.
You took them to the neighbors again?
Yeah, we have two neighbors with pools. That's right. No. I have a very strong theory on life, Avery. My neighbors can own dogs, and my kids can visit the dogs at their houses. And my neighbors can own and maintain pools, and I can use the pools at their houses. My kids swim like 5 days a week. I don't need to own a pool. Like, I just don't, and it's the best. I'm friends with pools, friends with boats. I love you. I love you very much. I appreciate that you exist and that you spend money on those things so that I don't have to. There you go.
Well, you've got great neighbors, I'll say.
You're not wrong about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I do buy a lot of beer. I won't lie. Like, I always show up with a cooler.
Well, you got to take something when you show up.
No, that's right. Yeah, a little fruit tray, a little beer. Yeah, no, I know. I know how this goes.
Good for you. Well, the kids had a big day. What did you have for dinner?
We did the kids did macaroni and cheese and peas, and I did just some chicken and black beans for dinner. So there you go.
Sherry and I'm not in a very good mood because Sherry and I did a reset day yesterday. So in the last 24 hours, I have had. I've had 4 ounces of steak in the last 24 hours, so I'm hungry.
Your wife's
hungry.
In great shape, and you're making her do Vitality with you. It's terrible, man. That'd be like me making my wife do Vitality. Oh, that's the worst.
No, we both during the pandemic, we really weren't into DoorDash and all of those things until the pandemic. And then that's all we ate.
Right.
And so we were fat as ticks by the time the pandemic was over. So, no, we both needed to go on Vitality.
He's Dan Issel. You can text him at 437-9680 on the UPS Jobs text line. I'm Louie Rabeau. This is Issel and Louie. We'll have John Clay at 11 o'clock. We'll talk all things UK with him. A reminder, Ben Roberts, Jay Davis will join us in their normal slots tomorrow. And then we will get our normal horse racing hat back on. We'll be talking Indiana Derby this week. Our podcast will be up there, Horse Racing Happy Hour, live at Indiana Grand on Saturday. Dan, are you an Indiana – or Indiana Grand, Horseshoe Indianapolis. Are you an Indiana Derby guy like you are an Ohio Derby guy?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm really excited. First of all, you mentioned Ben. Congratulations to Ben. Yesterday he tweeted out that he has basically taken Jerry Tipton's place, right?
Yes.
And will cover UK basketball. I hope he will continue, and I'm sure he will, to keep an eye on the recruiting, because that's I'm getting more and more interested in that.
That's like half the job at UK, frankly. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Who's coming in? because you know they'll be going out quickly.
That's right. Yeah.
I went to Horseshoe Indiana or whatever the hell I call it. Last year we had a filly with Brad Cox, and she wasn't good enough for the Kentucky circuit. So her first start was up at in Indianapolis, and I drove up there and visited. I've only been there one time, but it's really a nice little track, clean, and
it's really easy.
Yeah.
I mean, the parking's right there. That second for clubhouse is really nice. It's easy to walk down to the.
Had a great lunch.
Yes, right. Nice. Yeah, they got a chef and everything. Yeah, no, it's really a nice place.
Yeah, no, it's a nice place. Yeah.
So I'm watching Fritz Nadal right now. Are you watching Fritz Nadal?
I am.
There you go.
I am. Yeah.
I always wonder what's on the TV for Dan Issel. But yeah, Wimbledon. At least Wimbledon gives us something to watch during the day.
Exactly.
It's its biggest draw, I think. But man, oh man, I'll be honest. This is how out of touch I am. I love tennis. There's an American ranked 11th in Wimbledon. I've never heard of him before.
Yeah, no, I know.
Never heard of him before.
And another American just got beat in the quarters on the women's side, and she was ranked number 20 in the world. And I'd never heard of her either.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah. Now, there's, you got to pay attention. There's a lot of young tennis players coming up that are very, very good. Yeah. And so they'll be, with Nadal Djokovic, they're getting up there, so there'll be a changing of the guard in the world of tennis.
It's the remarkable thing with those guys being at the top of the sport for so long is that tennis might be the deepest sport on the planet consistently, right? There's always new good talent coming up.
Yeah.
And so for those guys to have stayed at the top for as long as they did is unbelievable, frankly. I mean, there's just so many good players. Nadal with the early break here, so he's up in the very first game, so there goes our American immediately down a break. But lots of stuff to talk about today, actually. It was not hard to put the show sheet together. Dan always, it's one of my favorite things about this show, Avery. The end of the show, Dan goes, oh my God, what are we going to talk about tomorrow? Every day.
Well,
and we got plenty to talk about.
We do. And we're going to have, as you said, John Clay, the excellent sports columnist for the Herald Leader, on at 11. And he had a real interest, a lot of juicy topics in his column from yesterday. And so we'll talk to him about the college football realignment. One thing that I read this morning, Louie, yesterday we talked about the ACC. Did you realize that the ACC's rights, their football rights, run through 2036?
Yeah.
The rights actually decline from year to year. So if I'm
That's because they know it's not going to go 14 more years. I mean, that's why they did the deal.
Yeah. But if I'm one of the teams, and yesterday we mentioned Clemson, sure. We mentioned Florida State, we mentioned Miami. If I'm one of those schools, I've got my ear to the ground. I'm paying attention to what's going on in the Big Ten and the Big 12. And the SEC.
Yeah.
The Big 12 is talking about adding six Pac-12 teams to their league. I don't know if that moves the needle much. I know they get some big media markets if Arizona, Denver, Salt Lake City, but I don't know if adding six teams to the Big 12 really moves the needle much for me.
I actually think it does. I think that when you can be in the states that they're going to be in and in those markets that you mentioned, I think Texas is a worthwhile market. I think that, like you mentioned, Phoenix, Denver, those are major markets. If you can pick up Seattle with Washington, Portland with Oregon, I think you can actually add some markets that really do have value. And so I think that one makes a lot of sense. And I don't know if they'll make it happen. I would definitely try to go get Utah, get that Salt Lake City market and all those things. I understand that, you know, Blake Baker was talking on the show before us, on Diener Show, that the ACC championship game this year did something like 2.5 million views, and Michigan Iowa did over 11 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's my point. I understand going in that these are big markets. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you, and I'm most familiar with the Denver market.
Sure.
Okay. If CU isn't really good, the ratings will be terrible, no matter how big the market is. And that's got to play into it. I mean, my point is, Louie, that even if those six teams that they're talking about, even if they merge or go into the Big 12, that league still pales in comparison to what the SEC and the Big 10 have now.
I'm not saying they're on the same level. What I'm saying is it's at least viable. And so Sweezy had, Braden Gall on the other day, ESPN Radio. He does stuff for Athlon Sports. And he essentially said, all of us east of the Mississippi really want people west of the Mississippi to care about college football, and they just don't.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Right. And he's like, all of us really want the rest of the country to dive in and get as excited as we do and all that stuff. And they just aren't going to do it. They're just not going to.
I would say maybe a little farther west than that, because I believe Texas and Oklahoma are west of the Mississippi. But you get past that. And he's absolutely right. College football out west does not hold the same attention that it does in the SEC or the Big Ten. Here's another thing that was interesting to me. We did not mention this school yesterday, but another plum, and we did mention Notre Dame, which is probably the biggest one out there.
No question. Yep.
But another plum is North Carolina. And I did not realize this. North Carolina, population-wise, North Carolina is the 10th biggest state in the union.
Yep.
Did you know that?
Yeah, and it's growing. That's what's interesting. So they're growing in two fronts. People are moving to cities like Charlotte and Raleigh, but on top of that, they've actually seen a big explosion in their Hispanic population as well. So a lot of they've grown especially on the Mexican immigration side in North Carolina as well.
So that would make, if that's true, and I'm sure it is, that would make North Carolina a pretty attractive school as well.
I think you have to package deal that with Duke, right? I mean, I think you have to. You know, those games are, I mean, that's all ESPN talks about in college basketball, for example.
Right.
And academically, they both really fit the profile of a Big Ten, for example.
Yeah, but here's another thing, Louis. In Kentucky, where we have two of the top programs in the nation, North Carolina, where they have Duke and North Carolina, you know, basketball is very important in those areas. I would say for 80% of the country, college basketball is an afterthought.
90%.
You know, when you're talking about the kind of money that these football programs are generating, if a school has a chance like Southern Cal, even UCLA was one of the blue blood programs in the country, and they basically said, you know what, we got a chance to go to the Big Ten and make this football money. You know, we'll worry about basketball later. It's, you know, it's, I think we're spoiled with college basketball in Kentucky.
Oh, big time.
It doesn't hold the same credence that it does in the rest of the country.
Yeah, it's not even close. And I'll go a step further with UCLA. I didn't send it to you, and I should have. I still follow it on Twitter because I used to contribute to the horse racing section on the LA Times, and so I still see their tweets. And UCLA essentially was going to go out of business as an athletic department because of how crappy the Pac-12 deal is.
Oh, wow!
And they were going to cut like half their sports. And so, Dan, where do they play football? Where does UCLA play football?
The Rose Bowl.
Yeah, think about how much the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have protected the Rose Bowl for years. Just last year, in the expansion deal for the playoff, they voted against it. Part of the reason they mentioned was the Rose Bowl. They just threw that away.
Have you ever been to the Rose Bowl, Louis?
I have not been to the Rose Bowl.
It was one of the most disappointing, the biggest disappointment of venues that I have visited. The number one on my list is the Boston Garden, the old Boston Garden.
Okay.
You know, I grew up, the Celtics were, there was one NBA game on a week, and that was on Sunday afternoon, and it was always Boston and whoever the Celtics were playing. Right. And I grew up watching that parquet floor and the mystique and the great teams. I walked into the Boston Garden for the very first time. It was the biggest toilet I've ever been in. And what made it worse was the circus had just left town, and so it smelled like elephant dung on top of being a terrible place. I mean, most arenas, the guards would dribble the ball around the floor trying to see if there was a dead spot anywhere. In the Boston Garden, you dribbled the ball around the floor seeing if there were any live spots on the floor. Oh, it was terrible. So that's number one. Number two on my list is the Rose Bowl. What a dump that place is. It's incredible. They don't have... First of all, being a rather large man, the seating was designed for people that are 5'2". And so I had to throw my knees over in front of Sherry to even be able to sit down. That was number one. And number two, they had no concession stands. The concession stands are all built outside around the Rose Bowl. So there's no concession stands in the stadium. You have to literally walk out of the stadium to buy a Coke or a hot dog or something. I was really disappointed the first time I visited there.
All right. Yeah, there you go. I'm always amazed when I go to those big stadiums that are just a single bowl, how small they feel, even though there's a, you know, 90,000 seats or whatever, you know, it's just, I think a lot of it is just the optics of it. But, you know, when you don't have that second tier, it does feel a bit smaller. Like when they built the new Cardinal Stadium, it felt smaller than 50,000 or whatever it was at the beginning, just because that second tier wasn't there. But, you know, once they added it, it did give it a new dimension. So I'm not surprised by that. I've heard the views out of there are considerably better than what the stadium is.
The views outside?
Yeah, like looking into the mountains and,
oh, you know, yeah. Right. No, it's a beautiful area in Pasadena. All of Pasadena is really nice, yep. But the Rose Bowl it's not. I went and I'm going to look this up during the break. There was a football player for UCLA. Oh, man, I can't. His first name was Don. I can't remember his last name. And he was All-American at UCLA and was the first draft pick. No.
Brown, Meredith, Yates, Manning.
No, you're Johnson. Going way. You wouldn't recognize the name.
Okay.
Here's what he did. He was the first draft pick of the Los Angeles Rams. I'm talking about, you know, back in the 40s or 50s. And he was the first. He was an All-American at UCLA. And he was the first draft pick of the Los Angeles Rams. But his mom wanted him to go into the ministry. And so rather than play pro football, he went into the ministry, and he was the senior pastor at Bel Air Presbyterian Church, Moomaw, Don Moomaw. Oh,
okay.
And was the senior pastor at Presbyterian Church for a long, long time when the Reagans went to church there. And so he took me to a UCLA game. And he was, I mean, even at his age, they were happy to see him. But I was very disappointed my first time to the Rose Bowl.
It'll be We Want to Know Wednesday on the V Show, which follows this show. We are Issel and Louie. Thanks for joining us this morning. Avery Dill hanging out. Don Moomaw, Avery, gave the invocation at Ronald Reagan's inauguration a couple months before I was born. How about that?
I need to get an older partner. Hey, and by the way, tell Dinner what our show is, will you? Hey, did you hear him say, well, Issel's in next. I don't know who's sitting in with him. Tell him we've got a radio show. Pay attention to what's going on, for crying out loud.
I am so anonymous around here. I love it. It's great. Oh, man. That's the best. Oh, man. That's awesome. Reminder to set the show back up. John Clay will join us at 11. I want to talk about how Michael Jordan is still on the front cover of video games.
Is that amazing?
Can we do that now? That's unbelievable.
You know, Michael Jordan retired 20 years ago.
Yeah.
He hasn't played an NBA game in 20 years. Were you born when he retired, Louis?
I was, yes. I grew up on Michael Jordan. I hated him because he played for the Bulls. He beat up my Pistons.
But how, I mean, God bless him. How does he keep his brand going like he does? I know he's the best player that ever played in the NBA, but that's unbelievable that after 20 years since he retired, he's now on the cover of the NBA. What's it called? 2K?
Yeah, 2K. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's incredible. I was shocked when I saw that.
So, you know, the interesting thing, too, I thought was very cool. They put Kareem on the cover for the 75th anniversary, and I thought that was very cool. But, yeah, I mean, that he is that relevant still, that colleges are still putting – I mean, think about it. Michigan football has Michael Jordan on their jerseys every game.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the logo.
Yeah. The logo. Yeah.
But think about that. That's wild, man. And so, yeah, it is unbelievable how relevant and how, I mean, that speaks to if people are really, oh, it's the LeBron, it's the Michael Jordan, nothing like this is going to happen for LeBron James.
No.
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 I mean, not close. No. And so, if you ever want to know, maybe not best player or talent or whatever you want to like categorize it as, the guy's influence is so enormous. I mean, just unbelievable that it. I saw that headline and I thought even Dan's going to think this is wild. You know,
no,
it's pretty incredible.
It is. No, it's incredible that he stays that relevant. You think Magic rue the day he ever chose Adidas over Nike, because it could be Magic Johnson's logo that's on everything today.
I think he rue the day that he didn't keep his personal life together.
Yeah, well, but you know, he was offered the Nike job,
right?
Before Jordan came along.
Yeah, there's a guy named Magic. Of course, you want to market that guy. Yeah. But I thought that's just incredible. What's cool too is in the game they're actually going to let you play as 80s Michael and 90s Michael. I think that's pretty cool too because, you know, I remember watching, you know, the Pistons right at that 89, 90, 88, you know, sort of years. And Michael coming on, and I was like, man, I hope this guy doesn't get better. And he did.
What's amazing, Louie, and his first year in the NBA was my last year. And then at that time, like it is today, Chicago was in the East and Denver was in the West. And so we only made one trip to Chicago every year. And, of course, my hometown where I grew up is like 40-minute drive to Chicago Stadium. And so I have a tape somewhere, and I really should get it digitalized, but I have a tape of my last game in Chicago Stadium against Michael Jordan. And here's the amazing part. there's a shot from under the basket. I'm at the free throw line, and there's a shot under the basket looking at me, and so you can see the end zone, the whole end zone in the background. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
At the other end, you know how many people are in that are in that end zone?
20.
None. This is Michael Jordan's rookie year with the Bulls. There is not a soul in the entire end zone on the other end of the floor.
Wow.
It's incredible.
That's incredible to think about that. You and Jordan, I know it was only a year or two, whatever, but you overlapped in the NBA is pretty, that's incredible, actually.
Yeah, just 1 year.
Yeah.
And then he was, of course, Michael was still playing when I coached the Nuggets too, so that was always a fun matchup.
By that point, was young Michael like, oh my gosh, I want to meet Dan Issel? Was that a thing?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
No, I mean, he was always nice, and that's why I think, and I know we need to take a break.
No,
this is just a personal opinion. I think why Michael is still relevant. Not only, I mean, put all of his, because you said, and there's an argument out there that LeBron James might be as good or better than Michael. I don't buy it, but that's
sure.
Just me.
Right.
However, the reason Michael, one of the reasons that Michael is still relevant is what a nice guy he is. I mean, you know, I've had opportunities to talk with him on multiple occasions, and he was always very nice, humble, for some reason, LeBron seems to think that he has to voice an opinion on all of these social issues, not realizing that, you know, whatever he says, there's going to be half the country out there that disagrees with him. And so I don't think that Michael, by staying away from that thing, by being a good guy, by not being braggadocious or carried away with himself, I think he has overshadowed LeBron a great deal. And like you said, this will never happen. LeBron will never be on the cover of this NBA 2K in 20 years from now. And I think that has a lot to do with it. But what do I know? Hey, a reminder.
It's the old Batman line. You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become a villain. And by staying out of the limelight, Michael has never turned into a villain. So there you go.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Hey, when you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than the Bluegrass State. Hike forest trails, paddle through clear waters, enjoy a horseback ride, or simply soak up the sights and sounds of nature. Looking for more thrills? Hop on a mountain bike, race through rapids, venture deep underground, or zip through the treetops. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
Summertime is finally here. That old ballpark man is back in gear out on 49. Man, I can see the lights. School's out and the night's rolling, man, just like the long lost.
Tradition like none other. Host a show, no, none of the soundtrack. My name's Louis Rabeau, in with Dan Issel. This is Issel and Louis. This section of the show, of course, brought to you by Kentucky Tourism, KentuckyTourism.com. Don't go to the airport, people. Visit the Bluegrass State and check out. Zip through those treetops. Explore underground KentuckyTourism.com. Appreciate them hanging out with us, and we appreciate you listening here on 680-1057, maybe on ESPNLouisville.com or on the app. You can text into the show, 437-9680, on the UPS Jobs text line. Did you hear that clip during the SportsCenter, Dan, from Braden Gall about realignment?
Yes, okay. I did. Right, I think he's right on the money.
Yeah, so Avery...
Avery, go ahead
and play it again. Just in case someone's joining us. But this is Braden Gall yesterday on the First Take at 3 o'clock here with Sweezy and Streetle.
We are headed towards a line of demarcation, whether that's 40, 44, 48, or 60, or 70, whatever that number is. If more teams can push for that number to be in the 60s and 65 range, where we get four super conferences, then Louisville is 1,000,000% in. If it is at the lower end of that spectrum and it's at 40, and we only have eight more teams to add to the Big Ten and the SEC collectively, knowing that Notre Dame is one of them at least, then I'd be very concerned if I'm programs like West Virginia and Louisville.
Good.
I think he's right on the money. I'm afraid that it's going to be toward the lower end, Louie, because the SEC and the Big Ten are in the driver's seat right now, obviously. So they're going to cherry pick, in my estimation, they will cherry pick teams that will help them bring more money to the TV revenue. I mean, it's all driven by TV.
Yes.
And you get the line of demarcation that he was speaking about, Louie, is how much can you bring to the table and how much do you take off the table? By that, I mean, if you're a school, let's use Louisville as an example. If the Big Ten or the SEC thinks that Louisville can help bring revenues to the table that are larger than what their split is going to be, then they'll take them in. If they don't think that, they'll have nothing to do with them. And so that's why I think it'll be that lower number, because it's just like, we're going through this with NBA to Lou. NBA owners would love to have the expansion fee money right now, but they're looking long range and they're saying, why should we take $1.5 billion now when we'll have to split 1/32nd of our revenue going forward with these teams? And that's the same thing that's going to happen in college football.
Yeah, if the Big Ten can get $1 billion like they're talking about for this deal, why would they add eight more teams? It just doesn't make sense, right? You go, you grab the LA market, you just do that, and then you move on, right? And I worry, you know, he's talking about going to 20. If you don't have to go to 20, like you mentioned, you don't go to 20.
No.
Right?
No.
And that's the problem. So the Big Ten now is at 16 with the LA schools. And I just, do you really need to go past that? My answer to that is no.
Yeah, well, like I said, they're in a situation now. If the SEC thinks they can make more money by adding a Clemson and a Miami, then they will have to pay out to those two schools. They'll bring them in. If it's not the case, they'll have nothing to do with them.
It's the economy, stupid. You're totally right.
Yep.
You're totally right about that. But I thought that was actually a really good interview. Braden's a really interesting guy, so I wanted to play that sound. And I think you're dead on that. It was he also said, you know, that was the guy, by the way, that said, you know, we want everyone west of the Mississippi to care as much as we do, and you know, about college basketball in Kentucky, but it's just not going to happen.
So, for sure. You know, there's just too many things to do west of the Mississippi. There's too many pro teams. I mean, how many different pro teams are there in the state of California?
All right, north, you know, south to north. You ready?
Yep.
Just in baseball, Padres, Dodgers, Angels, A's, Giants. Hockey,
right.
Kings, Ducks, and there's not and the Sharks up north, excuse me. And then football, you have the two LA teams, and you have the 49ers, and you had the Raiders. They're gone now. And then basketball, you have the two teams in LA, and then you have the Warriors up north. That's a lot.
A lot. And you forgot the team that really is relevant, and that is the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, Sacramento Kings. Excuse me. You're right. I thought we said professional teams, Dan. That would be like including the Detroit Lions in an NFL discussion. They're just not a professional team. So, it's not a thing. Someday they'll get an NFL team in Detroit. I won't know what to do with my life. It's going to be great. But for now, not so much. But this is Issel and Louie. He's Dan Issel. I'm Louie Rabeau. John Clay will join us in about 20 minutes. We'll talk all things good and bad going on with UK right now. It's interesting, Dan. We're going to have to get into it with him. But this name, image, and likeness thing with Mitch Barnhart, the fans are starting to starting to voice displeasure, and it'll be interesting to see if he's hearing more of that. But I have to ask you, because it will enrage James Strebel, that Chet Holmgren looked really good last night.
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, he only they won by such a large margin that he only played half the game. He played 24 minutes out of 48, obviously. But, I mean, his line is just incredible. He had 23 points in 24 minutes, and I watched some clips, some highlights of him this morning. He's shooting three-pointers. He's taking the ball to the hoop and dunking it. But he was, I think, 4 for 6 from the three-point line. And this is a guy that's 7'2". And he had 4 assists. And 6 block shots. I mean, he was just incredible. Now, this isn't the NBA, and you can't get too carried away with the summer league. But still, that was very impressive.
Well,
24
you know,
minutes.
You and I talked about it before the draft, that the concerns about him was rim protection. So what does he do the very first game? He rim protects, right? And so he uses his size, uses his physicality. And so, you know, it was pretty clear he was trying to set – send a little bit of a message, at least, that, you know, hey, I can rim protect, I can play defense. You know, the more open court in the NBA for some of these guys is just such a blessing for them, and it's going to be for him, it appears, right, that he's going to have a little more space to move around, you know, that the game is just more spread out. It's a little quicker, right, of course. And so I think for a guy like him who's, I mean, these highlights, Danny's just so smooth on shooting, man. It's unbelievable.
Here's what I love also about him. The point guard for the Thunder is somebody I never heard of, Josh Giddey. Are you familiar with Josh Giddey?
Oh, no.
He had a double-double. And so when ESPN asked to interview Holmgren after the game, he wouldn't do it unless they included Giddey with him. And then he made the point that, you know, shout out to this guy right here, double-double in assistant points. And Jalen Williams, the 12th pick out of Santa Clara, had 17 points too. So Oklahoma City's got,
well,
got
he was
some Josh, good young players.
Josh Giddey was all-rookie second team last year. He's only 19. He must be from overseas because I'm not seeing any college stuff. But, yeah, no, that's interesting. That you're right. They got a young core. He averaged 12.5, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists last year. How about that?
In the NBA?
Yeah.
Wow.
In the NBA, yes.
I need to pay attention. But don't you love that he said, yeah, I'll do an interview, but, you know, Josh has got to come with me. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, if you're a fan, that's got to feel good for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just had to mention that because you were on record that if someone – other than you think Jaden Ivey is probably going to be the best pro, but if there's a guy with that kind of potential to be mega special, it could be Chet Holmgren. He showed some flashes of that last night.
Yeah, yeah, and you know he's still a young guy too, Louie. He should be a sophomore in college. So as his body matures and his basketball IQ improves, he's got a huge upside. But no, he's going to be special. There's no doubt about that.
So we do have a text coming in on the text line asking about the last segment. Louisville would texter saying, UPS jobs text line 437-9680. Louisville would have more to offer the Big Ten than they would the SEC because of a new market? ? Yes and no. I just think Louisville, and maybe Dan, you can speak to this. You grew up in Illinois. Louisville feels more like an SEC style fan base and that kind of stuff than it does a Big Ten one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. I think so. What would concern me, you know, about Louisville is, again, it's all a numbers game, Louie.
Yeah.
And this is something that we run into all the time in our discussions about NBA to Lou, and that is the size of the market. You know, is adding Louisville to either conference, the SEC or the Big Ten, with the size of the media market in Louisville and in Kentucky, is that going to be big enough to make them an attractive addition?
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, if they just don't go wild and start, you know, making 30 and 40 team conferences, I think not.
So it's interesting. I try to tell people about the Louisville market and you've dealt with this as well, and I've doesn't matter why I know this, but I grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Grand Rapids and Louisville are within two spots on the national rankings for media markets. So if I told you the SEC is going to expand to add the Grand Rapids market, you would laugh. That's right. You would laugh. Now, Louisville feels different.
Not unless is Grand Rapids where they make Frosted Flakes?
No, that's Battle Creek. That's just down the road.
Oh, about, Battle Creek.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's about 40 minutes down south.
I was going to say unless they were big cereal fans in the SEC.
But I mean, if I said that to you, you laughed because it's giggle worthy. I understand adding Los Angeles is one thing, right?
Yeah.
But adding, you know, a town that rivals Grand Rapids, Michigan for market share is a whole different thing. And so, you know, I mean, Grand Rapids pro teams are a Triple A hockey team that's affiliated with the Red Wings and a Single A baseball team affiliated with the Tigers. And they've got a G League team that had to go independent because the Pistons pulled out. And to be fair, we got the Bats here, we got Lou City here, and that's what we have for pro sports. And there's a reason for that. They're on the same kind of market level. And
yeah.
So, you know, it's not a knock on the town. Louisville has an R1 university, a Research 1 level university. So, you know, major medical school, that kind of stuff, you know, a top 100 law school, that kind of stuff. But it isn't what we think it is. We live in this bubble here because we are so intensely interested. We're so intensely interested in the rivalry and in the teams here because we don't have something else to concentrate on. I tell people too, the other difference is as far as the markets in Grand Rapids, there's about 3 to 4 hours of local sports talk radio every day. In Louisville, there's over 27, I think. Last time I did a survey of it. And of course, if you think about this station alone, we go local on 680 from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. I mean, that's 11 straight hours of local sports talk radio. We got 2 hours right now on 93.9. We got 3 hours in the afternoon with Mark Ennis. And then we've added Cardinal Authority. So there's another hour, right? I mean, we're adding programming. We're not even taking it away, right? So, I mean, it's just a sign that people around here are very passionate, but we have to be realistic about market size too.
And you make a great point, Louie. It's not a knock against U of L. It's not a knock against the city of Louisville. It's just a numbers game.
Yeah.
And we don't have the population. And that's why I say I think the ACC is in big trouble overall. Because you take a Miami out. You take a Clemson out. You take a Florida State out. And look at and we talked earlier about the North Carolina market. I guess they would still be in play. But, you know, who's going to be excited about adding a team that's in, what is it, Blacksburg,
right.
Virginia?
Yeah.
Who's going to be excited about adding a team from that market? And so if the ACC gets cherry-picked with two or three, four of their top teams, the ACC's in big trouble.
Yeah, Mark Ennis put out a tweet. Mark hosts here at 93.9 at 3 o'clock. And I'm trying to find it now because, of course, he tweets about once every 6 minutes. oh, good Lord. Mark's tweet is, this discussion of is eternally demoralizing for lots of fans in places like U of L, Virginia Tech, Utah, North Carolina State, TCU, Iowa State, Baylor, West Virginia, and Cincinnati. They win more than they lose, have passionate and quirky fan bases, spend money, and are completely at the mercy of suits who say Vandy and Rutgers belong. And that's the numbers game, right?
Yep.
Is the knucker. Rutgers is in the Big Ten because of the numbers game, period. And we've all said that.
I mean, what market would you rather have in your league, Nashville or Louisville? Not even close.
You're right.
Even close.
Yep, that's why they have an NFL team and there isn't one here. That's right.
Yep.
No, it's a hard reality, but it is. What it is. Little Chet Holmgren and right back into realignment talk. I'm really fascinated by the realignment stuff because, you know, examples like the Big Ten just okay, Rose Bowl game, we don't need it anymore. I mean, it's hard to describe to people. I care more about, I mean, national championships are nice, but I just don't assume them in football as a possibility. So, like, the Rose Bowl when I was growing up was, like, the thing.
It was huge. Absolutely.
And it's hard to describe to people. I care about, you know, about Michigan State making the Rose Bowl more than I do them making the playoff. Like,
yeah,
it sounds weird, but I mean it.
Yeah, you got up. Of course, we both grew up in Big Ten country.
Right.
But you got up on New Year's Day and you watched the Rose Bowl parade, and then you watched the Rose Bowl. That was your viewing on New Year's Day.
Yeah, it was. And literally that kind of thing started, you know, Detroit started the Thanksgiving game in the 30s, and they started the parade right, pretty much right after that. And so I grew up on, you know, parade, Lions game, parade, Rose Bowl game. You're totally right. And so it was, you know, there was that pageantry aspect, but, you know, every time that those days rolled around, that's what we did. And the Big Ten doesn't care about it anymore. I mean, it's gone.
Yeah.
Who knows who's going to be in the Rose Bowl next year? Or in 3 years, I guess. Yeah.
Exactly.
If there is a Rose Bowl, who knows?
Exactly. Exactly. And we can get into that, too, about how many bowl games there are and how, you know. And again, Louie, that's all TV. You watch some of these bowl games that take place, especially the ones before or right after Christmas. There's not 5,000 people in the stands.
Right,
it's all TV. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens with all of those second and third level bowl games as well. It's just going to be so much fun to watch this play out, because now everybody, the ACC commissioner, the new commissioner, and where'd he come from? Was he a wrestling guy, or where did the new Big 12 commissioner come from? It wasn't from college. It was from some other line. And the Pac-12 commissioner, they're all trying to stay relevant with all of this. We're aggressively going after six of these Pac-12 teams. Unfortunately, you know, it's not going to matter, because the SEC and the Big Ten beat them all to the punch.
So you're talking about the Pac-12 commissioner, right? Because the Big 12 commissioner is Bowlesby. He's been there forever.
I thought the Big 12. Yeah, no, it's the Big 12. They just hired a new commissioner. He wasn't supposed to take over until the 1st of August. But he now has taken. I'm trying to see where it is.
Oh, you're right. He intended to step down as Big 12 commissioner. Okay, all right. There you go. Okay.
What's his name?
New Big 12 commissioner, good radio right now. Brett Yormark.
Yeah, yeah. And he didn't come from college.
Oh, he's coming from Rock Nation. He's coming from Jay-Z's company.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. Right. And so, you know, he wasn't supposed to start till August 1st, and they said, you know, you might want to get in here a little early. And, you know, he was the one who came out with a quote, "We're aggressively seeking six of the Pac-12 teams." Well, yeah, you better be aggressive, or you're going to be up the creek.
Okay, did you see this shot in Wimbledon where Fritz falls down and still makes the shot from his butt?
No, I was too busy trying to find the Big 12 commissioner. I missed
how,
it.
It must stick to work with Jay-Z, because all these guys are leaving to take jobs at like U of L and with the Big 12. I mean, good God. It must be awful. I mean,
they just showed the replay. Yeah. I did see.
So he switches hands. He actually hits the ball with his left hand from his backside. That's pretty impressive. But that's pretty clear that they're, you know, that is a further sign, Dan, that this is completely about television, because if you're bringing in a branding guy, right, and a, you know, a guy who's in promotions for a living, clearly that's what you're going after, right? It's not about, well, how are the academics going at Iowa State?
Yeah.
Right? No one cares.
No, you're right.
No one cares about that. So.
You're absolutely right. And I'll tell you, the ones that do care, like a Northwestern or a Vanderbilt, they're not saying a word, man.
That's been the most interesting thing.
They like to check.
That's right. And like everybody in the Big Ten voted yes for UCLA and USC. Like no questions asked. It sounds like they had that meeting for like 20 minutes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. All they needed to hear, it probably didn't last 20 minutes, Louis. Yeah. All they needed to hear was, hey, if we add these two teams, we're talking about $1 billion TV rights. contract. So, yeah, yep. Count me in.
Yeah, that's right.
Count me in. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, all that's right. For sure.
Well, hey, let's get to break here so we can get John Clay in. He'll join us at 11 o'clock. We'll talk all things UK. And frankly, John is just a general sports columnist, so I have questions about. Actually, they have a golf tournament going on in Lexington this weekend.
Yeah, the Barbersol, right?
Yeah, the Barbersol. And then I also want to ask him about just UK football. And their he covered UK football from 87 to 2000. And boy, oh boy, I am absolutely going to ask him about that because I want you to guess when we get there how many winning seasons he covered from 87 to 2000.
Zero.
It was two, and they were 7-5 and 6-5.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I've got one worse than that. You know how many games the UK football team won the 4 years I was in Lexington?
Ooh, I have it in front of me. I'm not looking. I'm going to guess five.
No, more than that. Oh, okay. Five. They won. Well, they played all those cupcakes. To had the schedule. They won nine games.
There it is. I'm seeing nine. Charlie Bradshaw and John Ray. Yep. There you go.
John Ray. Yeah. They were 2-2-2-3. 2-2-2-3. And listen to this. They decided there was a section right. It was right behind the UK bench, right on the 50-yard line. It was called the K section. So if you had lettered in a sport, any sport, basketball, tennis, golf, it didn't matter. If you had a letter, if you had lettered in any sport at UK, you got in the K section. And so they decided my senior year, they decided that everybody in the K section to show their support should stand up the entire fourth quarter. And so Sherry and I would go to the game, sit in the K section, and when everybody stood up to start the fourth quarter, we'd go home. Hey, when you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than home. Hike, bike, paddle, fish, or even venture deep underground. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
UPS is hiring warehouse workers, package handlers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying up to $21 an hour and offer great benefits, including 100% paid tuition, plus housing for some with our Metro College or Loop programs. Shift your team, shift your future, shift your life. Visit UPSjobs.com to apply. That's UPSjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference. UPSjobs.com.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.